Welcome, you guys. I am Chloe Ballatore. I'm a relationship and communication expert. I am a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute. And I use the tools of transactional analysis as created by Eric Byrne. I use the tools of androgynous semantic realignment as created by my mentor, Dr. Pat. And I use tools that I've created myself because I've been doing this work for over a decade now. I'm also over 20 years married. So everything that I'm going to be teaching you guys, I have vetted myself in addition to passing it along to like thousands of people at this point. I work with men, I work with women, I work with couples. I also work with teenagers. I do this meetup once a week. In addition to that, I do private sessions and I also teach this work in smaller groups. Those are the module packages. Here, I'll put that in the chat now. So if you're interested in that, you can sign up for that as well. And I've written four books on this work, and those are all available on Amazon. The first book, How to Live, Find Love, and Keep It, is kind of the guidebook for this work. And so that has a lot of the basics, which I'll be talking about tonight. I'm going to give a brief introduction of the psychology and the scientific principles that underpin this work. Those principles are very well established. That's not technically my work, right? The principles of yin and yang, Roger Sperry's experiments on newts' brains in the 80s. That's part of scientific scholarship, but I'm going to go through it a little briefly so that you guys understand that the tools to execute on that scholarship, which are what I've come up with what Pat Allen's come up with Eric Byrne's come up with, some of these that the tools that are derived from that scholarship, those are what are really the most unique and innovative about this work. And that's really the game changer about that, this work. So I'm going to give you a brief description of the scholarship, and then we're going to spend most of the time taking your guys' questions and working and your updates and seeing how these theories and tools apply to your life. So it's different from like a traditional therapy where you go in and you express yourself and the therapist listens and mirrors back and maybe makes you feel good. That is a pleasant and valuable experience, but this is different. This will actually change your life. So if you internalize these tools and you understand this work, you will have an advantage. And my specialty is dating and relationships, but these tools really go everywhere because they're based on principles of truth, as we'll get into. And so, a lot of times I'm working with someone on their relationships. I just had this happen with a client, and she got a job offer. And so a lot of this works very synchronistically, which I love. Okay. So, relationships. When we talk about relationships, what we're really talking about in terms of compatibility and happiness and longevity are relationships that are balanced, specifically balanced between feminine energy and masculine energy. Okay. Sometimes I'll say yin and yang because those terms are a little less charged. But the happiest relationships are those that are balanced in this way, meaning one person primarily occupies the feminine energy and one person primarily occupies the masculine energy. And that doesn't matter if you're gay or straight or trans. All of us are both. All of us have a feminine side, that is the right hemisphere of the brain. Again, this is Roger Sperry's work. This is the experimentation he did on the brains of newts. All of us have a right hemisphere of the brain that is the center of our feelings, that is passive, patient, vulnerable. The right brain is the seat of creativity, sensuality, sexuality. Right brain energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. It's receiving. It's feeling. A good metaphor for the right brain or feminine energy is a flower. It's beautiful because it exists. And then all of us have a left brain or the more masculine hemisphere of the brain, the yang energy, which is competitive, conquering, and controlling, which is what most of us are in when we're at work because we're doing, achieving. It's the world of thoughts and taking care of things, giving. Masculine or yang energy is very much of the world. Right. So a very good metaphor for masculine energy is a brick, right? It's a building brick. One is not better than the other. Most of us, as I said, are in our masculine when we're at work. So I often work with women on helping them to be feminine in their relationships if that's what they want. Just because you're a woman doesn't mean you need to be feminine in your relationship, right? That's accurate about 75 to 85% of the time. But you could be in the 15 to 25% of people who are not inherently in feminine energy, even though you were born a woman, right? So you can still inhabit the masculine. It just depends on the balance. So if you are in the masculine energy, you're looking for somebody who's in the feminine energy. And if you're in the feminine energy, you want to find somebody who's in the masculine energy. Now, if you're an alpha, you have a very strong masculine side and a very strong feminine side. Alpha doesn't mean a bully. When we really look at science and understand the term alpha, which really came out of the study of primates, the alpha is the leader in the group. And that's because they have greater understanding. Having a very strong feminine side and a very strong masculine side. The alpha is not the biggest bully. Alpha is not the one, who's got the biggest muscles necessarily. Usually not. So that's a little nuance. When I talk about alphas, sometimes it helps to understand that I'm not talking about a bully. Again, all of us are both feminine and masculine. And often, as we age, women tend to become a little bit more masculine and men tend to become a little bit more feminine because it changes in hormones and menopause and andropause. So that starts around the, for some people, starts at 40, but around 45, 50, you might start to notice that. That doesn't mean you can't still stay in your authentic energy. You can. It just might take a little bit more work. Now, oftentimes, when I work with people, we find that the problems they're having in their relationships have really stemmed from childhood trauma. And this is true for most people. So if you're getting triggered in your daily life, if you're, flying off the handle, you're getting upset about things even aren't really appropriate to get upset about. If you're engaged in patterns that you can see even are self-sabotaging or that don't serve you or that you don't like but feel powerless to change, then you're in the right place. Oftentimes, what we find is that as a result of childhood trauma, whether it was a big trauma with a big T or a small trauma with a small T doesn't matter as much in this context. But if you were in a situation from the ages of 0 to 12 in which you had to sacrifice your own authenticity in order to attach to the people who own the refrigerator, then you have been traumatized in some way and you have formed survival conclusions that you believe are existential truths, but were actually just strategies of the moment. But the problem occurs when we bring the strategies that saved us in childhood into our adult life. Because when we're adults, we don't need to sacrifice our authenticity to attach anymore. We will survive if we don't attach, right? Because now we own a refrigerator and we have a job and we can do we can have our own freedom. But a lot of us human children, when we grow up, have become not only have been trained, but also tamed, meaning we sometimes can't it takes a minute to hear the voice of our own authenticity because it's been substituted for another voice, the voice of our tamers, the voice of our guardians, the voices of the people for whom we had to at sacrifice our authenticity in order to get taken care of. Okay. And when this happens, we become what's known as ego-dystonic, meaning that if you're feminine, you go masculine. If you're masculine, you go feminine. The archetypes for this are really well exemplified by Peter Pan and Wendy. So you have Wendy, who's forced to take on a lot of responsibility, take care of things. Again, these are masculine traits, right? But she's not even reached puberty, Wendy. And then we have Peter Pan, who, is able to be a boy all his life. He's not taken any responsibility. He doesn't have respect. He doesn't take care of anything. So you see how this, what's called precocious relatedness, flips us into inauthentic roles. And that is ironically what sabotages our intimate relationships. If a lot of these terms sounded confusing or concepts, please feel free to ask questions. I'm going to open it up for questions now. Some of this work really requires a lot of repetition. So don't worry if you're not getting it all this first night. And you will understand more through using this work, asking questions, and then bringing it back and sharing with us, because that's how everyone learns, is really through your updates and your work. And that's why I love doing these groups, because we get to learn so much from one another, even if at first we think we have nothing in common. Okay, I saw Juliet had her hand up first, and then I'll get to you, Elizabeth. Hi, Juliet.
Hi, Chloe. I just wanted to go back to what you were saying about alphas. So if you're an alpha, you need to date an alpha, right?
It's usually, but not always. I would say it's more important for a female alpha. Anecdotally speaking, I find that it's more important for a female alpha to date a male alpha. Sometimes male alphas will be okay with a female beta. So it kind of just depends on the person. But yeah, I mean, if you have a strong feminine side and a strong masculine side, it does stand to reason, and alphas do often hook up with one another.
Okay. Just curious. Thank you.
You're welcome. Elizabeth.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. So I was going to ask you, I think you've talked about this in several past sessions, but what is there specific things or behaviors to make a man, well, to respect his thoughts, right? To respect his thoughts. Like how do you do that? Like, is there a list of things you're supposed to do? I don't know how to enact that because I don't like for me when I was growing up, my mom didn't really respect my dad because she was the breadwinner, right? He didn't do like he was not the provider, so I didn't have that example to follow. So I don't actually know what are those behaviors. I know I want my feelings cherished, that I know, but I don't know the other side. Like I don't know how to
Got it.
respect. You know what I mean?
Yes,
Like
of course. Yes. Really good question. Part of it is in the experimentation of it. I understand that when you say respect a man's thoughts, it's not doesn't necessarily conjure up a visual, right? Like, what do you mean? And this, you're not the only one. Same with cherished feelings. What? Okay, so when you're talking about respecting thoughts, it means, first of all, inquiring about his thoughts. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What are your ideas? Do you have an idea? What do you think? Okay, men love that. Second of all, when you hear his ideas, try to praise them, right? Try to praise his deeds. Try to praise his ideas. Try to echo them if you can. Like one thing I do with my husband, I was just working with someone who got married recently, and I told her to do this because it really helps. If I can, I'll just throw in some respectful comments throughout the day. Oh, that was a good idea. Did you get this new trash can? That was great. I love this. Why did you decide to pick this out? It's so good. So praising anything that they've accomplished. Wow, have you been working out? Make a muscle. That's impressive. Okay. It sounds maybe so about maybe sounds trite, but it'll work. It will work. Trust me, it will work. So as much as you can do that, asking for his advice, asking for his help, and a really big not to do is, and I did a reel about this week. If anybody here is watching Love Hotel, on Peacock and Bravo, it's really hilarious, but it's also a really good example. We had one of the women just one she's dating a guy in the hotel, and he's like, "No, don't give me that. I don't want vegetables." She goes, "You don't like vegetables?" And it was critical, and it was out of nowhere. We've talked a lot in here about criticizing without an appointment and how that's very hazardous to your relationship with a man. And it spiraled really, really quick, which of course I wasn't surprised to see. The woman involved was surprised to see, which she could have already seen a pattern, but whatever. She needs my help. But yeah, it's crazy how I know that a lot of women would watch that and think, "Hey, that was a really small thing to say. You don't eat vegetables. Who cares?" But again, criticize a man at your own risk. Without an appointment, you criticize at your own risk. So that's a really important part of respecting a man's thoughts, is not just barreling into him with a criticism, especially when you don't have an appointment. And also making sure when you're telling him something that you have his attention, especially if it's something important. I was just working with a guy recently, and he was telling me my wife and I got in such a horrible fight because I was working out, and she came home and she started telling me about her day, and I wasn't prepared for it. So this wasn't even a criticism, but it was attention. She was looking for his attention and engagement. And ultimately blew up at her because he didn't have the wherewithal to just say, "Hey, hold on a second, time out. I'm focusing." Men are very single-minded. So like at the beginning I was saying, the yang energy is and we love them for that, is very single-pointed, very focused. They don't multitask the way women do. So like when we're like, I'll talk to my friends, I'll bring up this topic, I'll go to another topic, I'll come back to this topic. Men don't do that. So if you see your man's really focused on something, then don't expect to get his attention until you put him on notice. "Hey, do you have a minute?" It's just that simple. It doesn't have to be that, tortured, but "Hey, do you have a minute?" And then you, if they say yes, then you launch it. "No, let me finish my workout, then we can talk." Okay. So you see how that avoids a power struggle. What you want to do is avoid that power struggle.
Okay, thank you. Those examples really help. But is it safe to say if you respect a man's thoughts, then he will automatically cherish your feelings if he's in his masculine energy? Is
Yes.
that
Yes.
yes? Okay.
Yes, 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 yes. That will, yes.
Okay, that makes sense. And now I understand. Okay, it's becoming more clear why you say let him lead and let him lead the date or plan whatever, because then it just flows. Like then you're not like you don't have to be in your masculine energy because he is. So.
Yes, and it's more relaxing that way. It's hard though, sometimes it can be really hard, especially for us alpha women who are really smart and really high achieving, and I know you're one of them, just from knowing you from this group. And a lot of times we think we know best, we think we can do it better, but I do try to keep my mouth shut because what I want more than being right is to be happy in my relationship. And does it really matter if I tell him, no, go here, go, why are you taking this road? Take a left here. You know what I mean? That's the stuff that really causes fights and grates on men. And that's super disrespectful. If he's driving, let him drive. Unless it's the, you think there's an accident happening, you keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's just like not just keeping the peace, it's because like your whole relationship would be affected, you know. So
Right. And you just will get, you know, one of the hallmarks of a good relationship is that you bring out the best in each other. And when you respect a man, you're going to get the best from him. Because again, men need to do good to feel good. Just like when he cherishes you, he's going to get the best out of you because you need to feel good to do good.
right. Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It is hard. Okay. Any more questions about anything that we've talked about so far, or just anything unrelated, really? I really, like I said, I work with people on work stuff. I work on conflict resolution a lot, and family communications. There's also, if you guys want to explore this work more, there's my books on Amazon. You can always reach out to me through my website. Hi, Juliet.
Hello again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a question about how to start a conversation with a guy, possibly at work or just like out and about. Like, I mean, I know as a feminine, you just smile at them and then they approach you. But I've
Yes.
heard guys say, "Oh, I was waiting for you to talk to me." And I'm like, "Why didn't you talk to me first?"
Yeah, and what did they say?
No, I was like, oh, I didn't realize
Oh,
you
right.
told me
So,
that.
yeah, I mean, men will do that. And, you know, a lot of men don't want to put themselves out there, right? And talk to you first and take the initiative. But then that's a sign that they're not owning their masculinity fully, right? Because they're not doing. You know, one of the things a feminine energy person wants to see in the masculine energy person is somebody who has the cojones to actually ask them out. Then they see strength, then they see doing, then they see achieving, they see courage, bravery. All those things are appealing to a feminine energy person. So, you know, I'm thinking if they're like, oh, why didn't you talk to me? That's wonderful that they said that. Because now you know they're in the feminine energy. They want to receive. They want to be approached. So
Yeah,
if
that
you,
makes
then
sense.
you wouldn't be compatible with somebody like that if you want to be in the feminine energy. Now, I've had people say, well, I'm going to try masculine energy because I really like him, you know? And you could try that. But if you really want to be feminine energy, it probably won't work.
Yeah, in the long term, I don't see myself as a masculine. I mean, I think I am, but I maybe I'm a little bit of both. I'm not sure yet.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, technically, he who speaks first is masculine. So you wouldn't be speaking first unless there's one caveat, you're asking for help.
Okay.
If you saw a cute guy, for example, in Whole Foods, and you went down to the parking lot and he was down there, you might ask him, excuse me, can you help me lift this watermelon?
Okay.
Right? Something like that. You know, you could do that. Or I maybe you've heard the, you probably haven't heard the story, but I have told this story before in this group where I had a client who was going to Whole Foods like every day and seeing this guy and getting coffee, and he was smiling at her and she was smiling at him, and he said hi and she said hi, and nothing was happening. This went on for weeks. So finally I was like, put yourself out in the parking lot and take a spill near him. Don't hurt yourself, but just like, you know, stumble and see what he does. And it worked. He came over, he helped her up, they made a coffee date, they started seeing each other. I mean, you know, you can do little things like that. That's
No,
like
I
the,
haven't heard.
dropping the handkerchief vibe.
Yeah, that I heard about the dropping the handkerchief. I just didn't have an example as to how to do it. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was a good one. You could, if you had something that wasn't that important to you, you might leave it behind on the table. Like a bookmark or a, whatever. A bag of something that you didn't care about, whatever
A
it was.
bookmark with my phone number on it or something.
Right, exactly. A bookmark that doubled as a business card with a hot picture of you on it. Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Good questions. Okay, anyone else have a question or a comment? I usually do original stuff on Instagram and TikTok. I don't do a ton of marketing. A lot of this work spreads by word of mouth. So, yeah, it's the real deal, and it is a game changer. So it will give you an edge, and all that I ask is that you use that edge for love and not for ill and not to hurt people. Okay, well, if we don't have any more questions or updates, then I guess we can wrap it up. Last call on those. As I think I mentioned, I teach this work in module packages. Right now I'm doing a live module 3, but you can also do any of the modules asynchronously, which is good, and those have been working out really well. I teach my first two books, so that's How to Live, Find Love and Keep It, and New Ways of Being, The Pain of Change. Because a lot of people don't understand that when you start making changes, even changes for the better, that that is an inherently painful process. Oh, you thought of something else?
Yes, I wanted you to run through your books a little bit just so I understand which one would match me right now.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, so the first one, is How to Live, Find Love and Keep It. And that has really the basics of this work. That in there is the high buy letter. I think we had somebody in here who was doing a high buy letter. We have the basic principles of masculine and feminine, basic principles of scripting, of communicating, the stroke and stand, all that's in the first book. Then the second book is basically to help you. That's New Ways of Being, The Pain of Change. That book is really to help you once you've started doing some of the work and how to navigate some of the nuances that happen when you start making changes, and what that looks like. We talk a lot in that one about the difference between the pain of change taking place and the pain that change needs to take place. And then my third book is Secrets to a Good Marriage, What is Love? And that is about being, obviously, about being married and a little bit of my story, because I've been with my husband for like 26 years now. And then my fourth book, which is also a great one, is Daddy Issues, Mommy Issues, mostly for women. And that's really about specifically what you encounter when you have childhood trauma from your dad versus childhood trauma from your mom, and what you can kind of expect to see manifest as a result of those childhood experiences.
Okay, cool.
That one's a good one too.
Well, sounds good. I'll look
Yeah,
into it.
check it out. Those are on Amazon. That you find those in the link. Yeah, I'm doing a lot. I've generated a lot of collateral. This meeting will also be available as podcast and on YouTube. And I'm cooking up some new things for you guys as well. So stay tuned. No more questions? Then I'll wrap it up. Oh, yes, Dwight. Thought I saw a hand. Nope. Yes, no. Okay. Well, I'll hopefully see. Oh, Elizabeth.
No, I didn't. I didn't put my hand up.
Oh, okay.
This is my first time. A friend of mine recommended you.
Oh, good, good. Well, welcome. Okay. Elizabeth.
Chloe, I just wanted to ask, like, I've heard this from other people, but is the way that you find a person, like, let's say you get into a relationship with someone, it's like newer, the balance of the relationship, like how he was in the beginning, is that how it's always going to be? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so if he's in his, I'm just saying, if he's in his whatever energy he's in, that's the remainder of the relationship. Like, that's how it's going to be. Is that how it is?
No. A lot of people are in good behavior at the beginning, right? Because the first 3 months of the relationship is the perfect phase. Now, some things that happen at the beginning do set the blueprint. So you want to be careful in the beginning not to compromise on issues that are inauthentic to you, for example. But yeah, I mean, I would say the beginning is going to be the best behavior. So maybe some of that will continue and probably, and you know, it just depends on the person, really, if it will continue or not. But oftentimes, and I hear this from women a lot, often, and I kind of think this is what you're asking. Oftentimes, women experience, you know, a lot of attention from men in the beginning, and then there's a period of dropping off, right? And that becomes then a crisis because it's like, what do I do? He's dropped off. Do I reach out? How can I get him back? Blah, blah, blah. Sometimes men will drop off because they want to see if you will reach out, if you will get baited into, not maybe not consciously, but if you will get baited into, you know, doing more of the work, if you will, you know, take that on, right? And then he doesn't have to do so much. Sometimes they'll drop off because they lose interest. Sometimes they drop off because they get scared. Sometimes they drop off because they met somebody else. The important thing is to manage your own behavior if that happens. And to not be pushed into the masculine if you want to stay in the feminine. If he wants to drop off, he can drop off, especially if you guys aren't in an articulated relationship yet, right? So it's different if you are, if you have a commitment or if you don't have a commitment. If you have a commitment, you have a little more standing, right? To then be like, hey, what's going on, right? If you don't have a commitment, then he drops off. What are you gonna do? You know, hey, I'm over here. You know, we talked about that last week. That's, you know, he's got 8 weeks. And if he drops off, we can do the hi bye letter at 4 weeks or earlier. We'll sit on it until 8 weeks and then we decide whether or not we send it. But
But
other
if he comes back and within that time, then
than that's a
you
good sign. Then he
okay.
likes you and
Okay.
he's gotten over his issue. But then if he ghosts again, you know, there's no real guarantee. I mean, the problem with guys, what happens when guys do that is it's inconsistent and it engenders a sense of distrust in women.
Right.
And so it just matters if he's able to earn back your trust enough. Sometimes a guy will be a little inconsistent in the beginning, right? But then once he's fallen for you, he's less inconsistent. So you just have to see, really.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, David, welcome. David, do you have a question for me? Because we're in the question and answer period right now. No? Okay. Well, if you want to listen to the beginning of this meeting, you can on Apple Podcast or on YouTube. Those are my credentials. I usually give a brief introduction of this work, and then I take people's questions, whatever they may be. So, does anybody else have a question or a comment? If not, I will probably wrap it up. But you can always reach out to me during the week if you have a crisis. I'll try to help you, or we'll set up a session if it's not a quick thing. And yeah, I'm around. You can check out my website for more information. And if not, I'll see you back here. Have a good night.